Blog Talk Radio.
I see the morning coming in your eyes. Jubilee. It's shining bright.
Certainly we need taken in, because if the evidence is the music, so-called music that we make in accordance to our love relationship, our intimate relationship with our women, yes, we need taken in. You know, remember back in the day when new birds sung a song, an intimate song of love and connection with his woman? You remember that song? Been such a long time since I saw you. Tell me, girl, how long has it been? I'm so glad to see you, 'cause I really love you. You were my only friend. You for me, me for you. Listen, baby, nice. Hey, I take you, your best friend too. I take the dog you got and the pink tutu, and I'm looking at your brother. That ain't music. That's a hot mess. It's true. Talk about so-called black culture. We don't know how to sing intimate love song to our women. We just sing Buddha bestiality song about sexing one up. No intimacy, no regard, no love, sex, sex, sex. And then you see the young women in the audience, they just shaking their head. He talking about me. You just sick as he is talking about some so-called black culture with that filth, that vile filth that you call music, which is simply nothing but noise, a hot mess. But that being said, my name is Yom Sufar Reef, and you're on the Real Talk for Real People show. What is the Real Talk for Real People show about? It's about real culture. It's about culture you can take to the bank. It's about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. It's about his heritage, how they all be. Like singing songs of intimacy, true intimacy. Been such a long time since I saw you. Tell me, girl, how long has it been? I'm so glad to see you, 'cause I really love you. You were my only friend. You for me, me for you. Listen, baby, you for me, me for you. Songs like that. Songs that have real quality and culture. Not this mess these youngsters call music. Brutal, beastly sex. I beat you up. I hit you in the eye. I hit you in the jaw. And I have sex with you. Ain't that good? Come on, man. We need to stop with the madness. Again, my name is Yom Sufar Reef, and we study the God of Abraham through a clear prism, no cross-contaminant version, an intelligent, accurate study, bird's eye view, leaving no stone or leaf unturned. Study, 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 and more study. That's vital to your growth and improvement about real culture. As far as your creator, your Elohim is concerned, and your women and brothers are concerned, stop seeing that garbage. It doesn't serve any purpose. It only serves to denigrate us further and downgrade us further. That's why we feel that these studies are essential and imperative in order for you to get, maybe you can start singing some beautiful songs to your women folk or men folk, you know, if you're a woman. Because that's not music of any quality or culture. It's filth. It's garbage. It's a hot mess. It's noise. So we need to find out who we are, what we are, and what we should be doing, and know how to sing beautiful songs to our women, or know how to sing beautiful songs to our men folk. And stop being in the audience clapping and swerving and curving like what they're singing is about anything of quality in our culture. Yeah, it's black culture because it's your dog. And you better believe it. Nothing endearing and enlightening about it. There again is another reason why we should study, 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 and more study. So we'll know who we are, what we are, and what we should be doing. Because we don't know a damn thing, truth be told. That being said, you may be wondering who the we I'm making reference to. Sister Aviyah from New York City. Sister Aviyah is from the Bronx. She knows good music. I bet my last dollar in my pocket, you won't get her to listen to Shake, 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 Baby. Shake, Shake, I Break It. I Want You, Your Best Friend, Too. I Want Your Mama. I Want Your Sister. I Want The Dog and The Pete, Too, Too. And I'm looking at your brother. You won't get her to listen to that nonsense because she know what real quality is. Yeah, she'll call that black culture, and it's dark. But she won't call it the people of the Elohim, his heritage, his nation. And she loves the Most High with all her heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the vital reason. And she loves her brothers and sisters, and she loves herself. That's another vital reason. Cartrell's from New York City, too. You can't get him to listen to that nonsense. Why? Because he loved the Most High, too, with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, and his brothers and sisters as himself. He don't want to hear his women folk hearing that kind of garbage, and he certainly don't want his sons or so forth to see that kind of garbage. He's not about to sit up there 5 minutes and listen to that nonsense. It's true, and neither should you. And he loved the Most High, as I said, with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's why he won't do it, and he loves his brothers and sisters as himself. That's why he wouldn't have them do it. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Let me bring them on for you. Sister Avia, been such a long time. May the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Oh, shalom, family. And all praises and glory to Yah. You got that right. That's not my type of music. I'm exactly. Sure enough you have to hear me some old days or Temptations.
Some new birds.
Somebody that's going to sing something that means something, like you said. But
Today,
these folks, young folks are all into all kinds of mess. And some of them grown-ups, too. So, they got to learn on their own. They learn the hard way. And it's happening now these days. They going to learn.
You better believe it.
To be back and keep on singing, brother.
Okay, well, Cartrell told me to practice. Praise Yah. Bless you,
praise Yah. Good to be back with both of you, Brother Cartrell, and also. May Yah bless us all.
May Yah bless us all. It's good to have you back, sister. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, family. All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael. God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How y'all doing tonight? Good to hear your voice.
Doing okay. Good to hear
your voice. Praise Yah. Y'all, Stoop, I tell you to practice, but I ain't tell you to practice in public.
I knew Cartrell was going to say something. Go ahead, Cartrell.
You know you got some sand to this. Go ahead, Cartrell.
And that song you singing by New Birth?
Right.
If you play it, it sounds totally different from how you were singing it, bro.
That's what you said, brother.
Cartrell, can you give a brother a break, man?
Nah, I'm giving you tough love, man. Tough love. You know what I'm saying? Your friend's got to tell you the truth of the matter. You know. I'm a true friend, bro.
Be quiet, Abby. Anybody ask you nothing?
All I said was yes to me. I didn't say
what you trying to say.
I said yes indeed about the true friend.
Okay, what you trying to really say?
No, I just said the true friend.
go
me caught up in nothing.
Go ahead,
God. When I worked on a job, they used to play radio stations,
right.
Europeans. They used to dominate, you know, they play their music.
Right.
They play their music from the 60s, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, Elton John, and they cherish that music.
Right.
Nobody plays the music that we created from the 60s and up on a regular basis.
Right.
It's unfortunate because the music we made back then had significance, had meaning, and had power. Not like the music today that you're describing. And I don't know what song you be talking about. Your mother, your father, your sister, your baby dog, too.
Y'all, this is exaggerating.
But you're right, man. That music was conscious level music.
Right.
And they figured out a way to spoil it to where it is now. to where our artists of today don't realize the tool that they have in their hand. And they're only using the tool that they have in their hand to make money because they're talented. But they're being directed to misdirect our people, not give consciousness to our people. Like these beautiful psalms that we read, these songs that our ancient fathers wrote always gave us direction and a meaning and a purpose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they were constructive and positive.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Curtis Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
Last Poets.
Mm-hmm.
Osley Brothers. Bought Tops, Temptations. Mm-hmm. The Impressions, The Main Ingredient. Our people should listen to what their music is. Yeah.
Even Gil Scott-Heron. I mean, his
Gil music. Scott-Heron. No doubt. But now we got Beyonce instead of Gladys Knight.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We got Jay-Z instead of James Brown.
Right.
But it is what it is.
Yeah. It's a hot mess. It's a hot mess.
And the thing is, we always created, so we always going to come up with something new, something innovative. Hopefully, it's on the positive side when it does come out.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Praise y'all, Godre. They got to have the right minds in order to bring that right music, Godre.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of music would King David be making today? Sure, it wouldn't be like what's out here now.
No, wouldn't be that garbage. No shape, form, or fashion. Godre, Sister Abby, y'all ready to put in some work?
Yes, sir.
Yes, thank you.
We're on the last book of Prophet Nahum, third chapter, and we'll begin in Habakkuk tomorrow. May the Most High bless us, direct us, and order our steps. He's making reference in this chapter to Nineveh. He said, woe to the bloody city. Must have been a bloody city, like a lot of cities in these United States of America. Matter of fact, this whole United States of America, bloody nation. It is full of lies, just like this nation, and robbery. Its victims never depart. America never have a lack of victims, doesn't it? Just like never. A noise of a whip. And once upon a time, there was a noise of a whip in the 17th, 18th century. Yeah, the noise of a whip. Just like an ancient...
That's why we call them crackers, right?
Yeah, that's why we call them crackers. And the noise of rattling wheels. Where they rode us around in from the slave depots, or galloping horses, or clattering chariots, horsemen charged with bright swords and glittering spears, nice AK-47s running in the schools, killing little children, so on and so forth. Any venue is good enough for them. There's a multitude of slain, and certainly there is in this Western Hemisphere. A great number of bodies. They're stacked all over the place, and they're still stacking. Countless corpses. They stumble over the corpses because of the multitude of harlotries, of the seductive harlot. At one time, Nineveh was considered a seductive harlot, but of many harlotries. I would say this about this Western Hemisphere. The mistresses of sorcery was dominant in Nineveh. I was saying about this Western Hemisphere, who sails nation through her harlotries. Nineveh was like that. I would say this Western Hemisphere is the very same way. His daughter Babylon. And families through her sorceries. People are seduced by Nineveh, and they are seduced by this Western Hemisphere. That's why people always try to beat a pathway here. Behold, I'm against you, Yah says, in regards to Nineveh. And America, we share the same thing, says Yah of hope. Yah says in regards to ancient Nineveh, I will lift your skirts over your head. I will let folks see who you really are, what's beneath the belly of the beast. And it will happen in this Western Hemisphere too. I will show the nation your nakedness, Nineveh. It's going to happen in this Western Hemisphere too, believe it. And the kingdoms, you'll change. Ancient Nineveh, I suspect daughter of Babylon to this Western Hemisphere. I will cast an abominable filth upon you. Take you back. Never had abominable filth cast upon it, and it was made vile. I suspect this Western Hemisphere would say the same thing. I will make you a spectacle, says regards to ancient Nineveh. As I suspect this Western Hemisphere will share the same fate. It shall come to pass that all who look upon you will flee from you, ancient Nineveh. And said, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will mourn her? Ain't nobody going to be mourning for her. Where shall I seek comfort for you? Ain't nobody going to be giving you comfort, ancient Nineveh. And I suspect it's about this Western culture, this daughter of Babylon. Are you better than Noamon, an ancient city in Mesirene that was situated by the river, River Nile? They had waters around her. She was protected too, whose rampart was the sea, whose wall was the sea. Ethiopia and Mesirene were her strength. It was balanced. Put and Laban, consider two nations that assisted Mesirene that they got some of their warriors from, were your helpers. Yet she was carried away. You know, in our study, we learned ancient Mesirene, the Hamites, were carried away. Those people were right. They're pretending to be Mesirene of ancient are not the ones. She went away into captivity. You remember Yah broke the Pharaoh's both his arms? I suspect this happened in this Western Hemisphere too. But young children were also dashed to pieces at the head of every street, her street. They cast lots for her honorable men when they went over the captivity. These ancient Mesirenes. It's going to happen in this Western Hemisphere too, because it certainly happened in Mesirene. All her great men were bound in chains. You also will be drunk. You will be hidden. You will also seek refuge from the enemy. And we're doing the very same thing. But did you not realize the Ninevites shed the same fate? And Mesirene shed the same fate? That's why she couldn't help nobody. People cast lots for them. All your strong holds are like fig trees with ripped flags. If they are shaken, they fall into the mouth of the eater. Surely your people in your midst are women. The gates of your land are wide open for your enemies, just like women are wide open. Figure of speech. Well, the gate's going to be wide open like our women are. You know what I'm talking about if you grown folks. If I should have barred the bars of your gates, Yah says to Nineveh, as it did in Mizraim, and certainly as it did for us. And I suspect it's Western Hemisphere. Draw your water for the siege. Whatever you do, it ain't going to help you. Fortify your strongholds. Go into the clay and tread the mortar. Make strong the brick kiln. There the fire will devour you. The sword will cut you off. It will eat you up like a locust. Make yourself many like the locusts. Make yourself many like the swarming locusts. You have multiplied your merchants more than the stars of heaven. As it happened in Nineveh, as it happened in Mizraim, and I suspect it happened to us, and certainly I suspect it would happen to the Western Hemisphere. Your commanders are like swarming locusts. Your generals are like great grasshoppers, which kept in the hedges on a cold day. When the sun rises, they flee away. There's no protection for you, Yah says. In a place where they are not known. It happened to us. It happened to the Ninevites. It happened to Mesirim. And it certainly, I suspect, would happen to this ancient his young daughter. O shepherds, slumber. O king of Assyria, your nobles rest in the dust by virtue of the Most High. Your people are scattered on the mountains by virtue of the Most High. It happened to the Assyrians. It happened to Mesirim. It happened to us. And so I would suspect what happened to this Western Hemisphere. And no one gathers them as no one gathered us. The Ninevites and the Matharaims. Your injury has no healing. When Yah put a hurting on you, can't nobody heal it. We know this. Your wound is severe. All who hear news of you will clap their hands over you. They're going to be glad. For upon whom has not your wickedness passed? And let me break that down for you. Upon whom has not your wickedness passed continually? For the ancient Ninevites, the Assyrians, they were in power, and their wickedness passed by people continually. He saw it every day, each day of the week. As Mazarim, their wickedness passed by others. As us, when we weren't connected to the LOM, start doing our own thing, when we want to do it, how we want to do it, and people were happy when we go. And I suspect this daughter of Babylon, people going to clap over it too. Praise the Most High and bless His holy name. God, your sister Aviyah, may the Most High bless you. Y'all have the mics.
There you go. I don't have nothing to say. It said all was said.
Yes, sir. Broke it down like it was 4 years old. But this chapter validates the fact that the capital city of Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrians, because he makes mention of the king of Assyria, right, in connection with this chapter. He says, your shepherds slumber, king of Assyria. Your nobles lie down. Your people are scattered on the mountains, and there is no one to gather them. Who's going to gather us after he scattered us? The Most High, right? He ain't gathering Assyrians, but he's the one that scatters. And we haven't heard from the Assyrians since Yah scattered them. And the only reason we know about them today is because of Yah's word. And in archaeology had to dig them up from their graves and show that Bible history is true. So, yeah, there was a people called the Assyrians, but what does Yah say? Your shepherds slumber, king of Assyria, your nobles go lie down. Your people are scattered on the mountains, and there is no one to gather them. There is no healing your wounds, for your injury is fatal. And we know what fatality is, right? A fatal wound. That means you're dead.
Yep.
All who hear the report of you clap their hands over you. Why are people celebrating the conquering and the demise of the Assyrians? Yah tells you. For who hasn't felt your endless cruelty? And when you read about the Assyrians, they were some of the cruelest people on planet Earth. They would castrate you, pluck your eyes out, put fish hooks in your lip, and drag you. They was cruel.
Yeah, they were cruel.
And Yah put an end to that. But he gave him a warning. He sent Jonah. Jonah was skeptical. And we can see why Jonah was skeptical, right?
Right.
Yeah. They went right back to that wickedness. And Yah said, enough is enough. Time to end it all for y'all. Because they did get a warning. Jonah was sent to them. The king at that time, he made the right move. But apparently, some subsequent king went right back to the wickedness that they were doing before. And Yah said, now it's time for judgment. Because this time he didn't send them a warning.
Mm-hmm.
This time he let them know they're going to be destroyed.
Exactly.
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
So, since there's a pause, I'd like to say the eighth chapter, the eighth verse, rather.
Right.
The eighth verse, the ninth verse, shows we were dealing with Hamite nations. It says in the eighth verse, are you better than No Amon? And that's Egypt. Mizraim, son of Ham, who was situated among the rivers, who had the waters around her, whose rampart was the sea, and her walls was of the sea. Cush, Ethiopia, and Mizraim were her boundless strength. Put, that's another Hamite, and Libya were her helpers. Two additional Hamite nations. So you're talking about the Assyrians, who were Shemites, having a cooperative relationship with Hamite nations, which shows there was no prejudice between Shem and Ham.
No.
Syria is Shem, and Cush, Put, Libya, and Egypt are Hamitic nations.
Patriot. May I give some more detail? Issues about the Assyrians. Part of their cruelty was amputation of limbs, blinding, castrating, burning people alive.
Yep.
The Assyrians were very creative about the brutality. They would cut off legs, arms, noses, tongue, ears, and testicles. They would gore out eyes of their prisoners. The Assyrians were feared for their cruelty and military might. They used strong iron weapons and became skilled horsemen. They also became highly effective at siege warfare. This technique had soldiers camped outside the city many days and repeatedly attacked until the defenses failed. Other acts of brutality are mutilation of men to death, putting heads, arms, hands, lips, even down the wells, the walls of the conquered city. Skulls and noses on the top of estates. Alternately, corpses can also be stacked or even then cut and fed to the dogs. Yeah, they were an awful lot. They were bad. They were bad. They were called the Lords of Torture.
And the things they did back then, they would consider war crimes.
Right.
You can't cut people's hands and feet and nose and ears. You can't do that. That's a war crime.
Yeah.
Y'all put it into that, didn't you?
Exactly. Yeah, and you can see, and it says, Assyrians created an enormous empire. They mastered the art of war. Unfortunately for their enemies, the Assyrian mastered also torture techniques, and they bragged about it. The Assyrians depicted the torture in great details on the walls of the imperial palaces. They created tablets. You can go online and find these out, containing every single punishment the Assyrian army carried out. They cut off limbs, voiced out eyes, and then left those poor victims to roam around. Those poor people served as a living reminder of the Assyrians' cruelty. They like people to know what you mean. The Assyrians intentionally advertised their brutality as part of the psychological warfare, like they do on us now. The cruelty didn't hurt only the enemies. The Assyrian soldiers suffered too. The soldiers were seeing and hearing the ghosts of the killed enemies. These are the symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. Impalement, slow and extremely painful death. The Assyrians were proud of the mass execution. They loved to impale their victims on large stakes, such sight and see of terror and fear into the rest of the population. Yeah, they put this monk on it. Everybody saw that showcase of power, as Most High said in our studies. Stakes were driven into the body under the rear, not through the anus as is customary in the medieval ages. The victim weight caused the spikes to protrude deeper and deeper into the body. Slow death was terrifying. A flame, the victim's skin was hung on the city wall. I see our brothers being flayed. If you go to depictions of Hebrew Israelite men who look mostly like us with afros, their skin is being flayed and hung on the city wall. The Syrian king was part of flaying the rebel leaders. The flaying process would start at the buttocks, thighs, and lower leg. They would cut the skin and stripes and put it off the living victim. The victim's skin was hung in a visible place as a reminder for the rest of the citizens. Let the leaders of the conquered city be flayed and clad the city walls with their skin, grinding bones to erase the memory of ancestors. They would grind our bones, and these men I'm looking at look like brothers, somewhat remotely look like human beings. The Assyrian forced the captured nobles to grind the bones of their ancestors. take them out of the grave. By doing so, they erase the evidence of their legitimacy, just like the evidence of us was erased in this Western culture by dumbing us down, especially with music that I made reference to. The evidence of their legitimacy to rule that was part of psychological torture, which has been imposed upon us in this Western hemisphere. It shows the absolute power the Syrian king had over the subjugated nations, beheadings. Assyrian soldiers decapitated their defeated enemies and the pyramids out of their skulls. The Syrians decorate trees with the heads of their enemies. One of the Syrian accounts even the boast of the necklace made of severed heads, amputation of limbs, flattening, castrating, burning people alive. The Syrians were very creative about the brutality. They would cut off legs, arms, noses, tongues, ears, and testicles. They would gouge at the eyes of the prisoners. They would burn small children alive. The Syrian army was a professional army. It was well organized, so their cruelty and brutality was systematic, just like in this country. The Syrian kings used brutality as a weapon. It's been used against us over and over again. So psychology warfare worked, and it worked against us. You see the music we made. The news of extreme terror spread fast. The entire city surrendered in the mere sight of the approaching Assyrian army. The Syrian kings bragged about their cruelty. They regarded it as their divine right, just like the divine providence here when they came here. When the fella thought he was in India and dumbed and started calling the Native Americans Indians. That's not their damn names. The fool thought he was an Indian. But they have a divine right in this daughter of Babylon to do what they want to do, how they want to do it, and when they want to do it, and not going to be called upon to ask questions or suffer consequences. And that, but don't you say a word. Don't you say a word about Edom. Don't you even pass a link on to one another. You don't even have to say Jew. Pass a link on is a Kyrie deep. And then you have some of us because of our ignorance. I lack a love for one another, a pie right on. Just like LeBron James and Charles Barkley did in regards to Ivory. LeBron not even knowing, not even studying. You know, that's what I get about some of this country, Sister Abby. They don't know nothing. They don't study nothing. They get running off at the mouth. They don't know the brother that shared a link. He didn't mention anything about either. But LeBron said, oh, you see, he heard a lot of people about what he said. The man didn't say anything. He shared something on the link. Get your facts together before you say anything. That's why we study, and more study. And not only do we study our LM and our people, which is imperative for our undertaking to know who we are, what we are, or what we should be doing, but it's imperative that we study ancient cultures, as Cartier made mention. They were Shem, but they were Lord. Yeah, so I advise to you when you study the Most High, study other things too. Study ancient cultures, how they were, and how our ancients were mistreated as a result of these people, how they would use psychological warfare against them, as being used against us, and the ancient torture that was perpetrated upon us when our first arrivals here, buck naked and chained, and now the continuum of psychological warfare. Beat them, break them, make them, and let them out. They're going to do whatever you want to do, whatever you want to do, because they're not going to study a book like Cartier said. They're not going to open a book, and they're going to keep being dumbed down and make it song that even further dumbed them down. And we said, we've done a wonderful job, now haven't we? That's what they said. That's why these studies are imperative, my brothers and sisters. And that's why we do what we do, because we love the Most High with all our hearts, minds, soul, and strength. And we love our brothers and sisters, and we don't pile on as we love ourselves. And we don't say anything to denigrate our brothers and sisters in public. And if we got a bone to pick, we'll talk to them in private, because that's what they want you to do. God, I praise the Most High and bless his holy name. Thank you very much, brother.
So, You definitely didn't want to see this Assyrian army coming at you.
No, you didn't.
Based on what you just read. But the thing about it, Yansu?
Yes, brother.
Our enemies of today know of the Assyrians.
Yeah.
And they're much more crueler than the Assyrians were, especially
exactly.
In times past, what they did to the Native Americans, how they scalped them and castrated them in war. dead on their hat, and not even to talk about what they did to us, tar and feather us and tear us apart between two horses and chop our feet off and our arms and our limbs off. They took the practices of the Assyrians and amped it up like 10 times.
Exactly.
And the psychological warfare. That's why LeBron James, Shaq, Charles Barkley got that fear in them.
Right.
Because we know who we're dealing with. These people are just as cruel as the Assyrians, if not cooler.
And Cottrell is so right in that regard. And that's why we need to, I know we don't like what some of us do in public, but we should allow them a little liberty to talk to the Most High, without throwing them under the bus or piling on them. Because post-traumatic stress slave syndrome is an awful thing to be, especially when you think your enemy has divine right, divine providence, as they used to say. And you will become, I'm not so mad at Frankenstein. Matter of fact, I like Frankenstein. But I had a problem with Dr. Frankenstein and Mrs. Frankenstein. The onus is on them for help creating these monsters among us. We should pile on them instead of piling on one another. Old Frankenstein was scared of the fire, just like some of our brothers and sisters. They're scared of the light. They're scared of the truth. Oh, take that book away. Oh, it's going to burn me. Get the light off me. Just like the same way, truth be told. Just like Dr. and Mrs. Frankenstein, we need to take the onus on them to help create this psychological torture against us and our people. Yes, we should hold our people responsible, but the onus is simply not on Frankenstein, the creator of the Frankensteins among us, that tells us to sing these songs in our communities about killing one another, mistreating one another, mistreating your women, mistreating your children, sexually abusing everybody. But we're not making demands on Mr. and Mrs. Frankenstein, as we should. We want to pile on like the likes of Kyrie Irving, Shaq, Sir Charles Barkley, LeBron James. The brother can't even share a link. Hebrews and Negroes, and he just said something about Edom. That's a classic case of a dumb jock. Start reading, start studying about Yah, start studying about your people, start studying about ancient culture, start studying about your enemy, because he know you far better than you know yourself. He know what strings to pull on you. He know how to get you to turn on one another. And we're good at it. Contrary, they search us out all the time on the Real Talk of Real People show. Search us out. To argue, fuss, and fight with us. And if they kill us, they'll do that too. Instead of searching each other out to gather, turn to the Most High and gather ourselves together and do what we can, when we can, and how we can. Go to Yah and gather us together. And stop lurking around like little hyenas, trying to pull your people down instead of trying to give them an opportunity to build themselves up. And throwing each other under the bus. Cottrell and I, we don't hardly go on other people's radio talk shows, but every now and then, want to pop up in the bushes and then lurking around. Instead of working with us, they spend their time working against us. And we're putting in the work for the efforts of the LOM and the work of the Nation of Revealing. And some of us choose the time they've given to tear anything down. That's Cottrell.
So, Yaksin.
Yes.
Imagine this. Every brother in the NBA is doing what Kyrie is doing,
exactly.
Searching themselves up.
Right.
Imagine this. Every brother in the NFL, every brother in the Major League Baseball, every brother that's playing Major League sport is doing what Kyrie Irving is doing,
right.
Trying to find out the truth about themselves. And once they do, imagine them shutting it down. We're not playing ball no more. We ain't playing football. We ain't playing basketball. We're not playing baseball. It's over. The game is over. No timeouts. The game is over. So they got our warriors, our young, valiant, mighty men playing a little boy's game, making millions of dollars, not fighting for the cause of our people, but using their talents and skills to entertain them.
Exactly.
So Kyrie's in the path like, I wasn't born to entertain you. I got to find out what my real destiny and purpose is in the earth.
Praise God.
So he don't care. He don't care that he's on this search because he's seeking himself out. And there's nothing that the world can do to stop him in spite of their criticism of him. The fact that y'all took that away and trying to prevent him from doing it is only going to make his convictions that much stronger.
And going to make some people more curious about Hebrews and Israel. They're shutting the thing down, Israel. It's counteractive to what they intended. What they intended was to shut it down. But it's counteractive. People are getting the book. They're looking at the video and so on and so forth. So their intent was to shut it down, to shut the message down. But it's counteractive to what they intended. Because people ask him, what did the brother do so bad? And Kyrie is a humble brother. He don't do all that talking. And matter of fact, he didn't say anything. He shared a link on his page. And they just shut that nigga down. Take his money. And matter of fact, we going to tell you what he need to do, which they don't own a stock in, the NBA. Now they determining how he going to play. Well, you need to do that. You need to do this. You need to come kiss my behind. You need to kiss the ring. Everything that has nothing to do with basketball.
The brother already apologized.
Yeah.
And if you look at the film, which I saw, there's nothing anti-Semitic in it. They don't like the fact that the brother quotes Hitler. Well, Hitler said that African Americans are Yah's true chosen people. That's anti-Semitic to you? That Hitler said it? That makes you anti-Semitic?
Yeah, that's psychological warfare, brother. What they did with Kyrie Irving, what they do to us every day of the week and then some, is psychological warfare, a continuum of their policy against us. They beat us, broke us, and made us. They took our names and everything. And now they threw us out here with that Jim Crowism, then some other isms, then beating us and some more isms. And now we said what they want us to say, how we want us to say it, and when we want them to say it, even how to play basketball. Policies around that. If you don't know Edom, who he is, how he works, if you don't know the fourth kingdom, what it is, how it works, you're going to be totally confused about everything. And that's the problem. That's why you need to study, and more study. Do redundancy, you master it. And when you master it, you can see things so clear, as Cartrell sees, as Sister Aviyah sees, as Yom Suk sees, any other person that's been studying with us a long time. It ain't hard, because the Most High will open your eyes and open your ears, and you be just like that song. I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. And I can see all obstacles in my way. You truly will. May John bless his holy name.
So, Yahshua.
Yes, my brother.
What does verse 5 say?
Okay. Let me put my shades on. I'm saying shades because they're actually eyeglasses. Reading. I fooled you, didn't I? Not putting on shades. I couldn't see nothing. It says, behold, I'm against you. Speaking about ancient Nineveh and ancient Mizraim, and certainly in regards to this Western Hemisphere, the fourth king, says Yah.
And you never want Yah to proclaim those words against you.
You better
believe. He says, I am against you. Trust me, you in trouble.
Well, he buried Assyria. He broke Pharaoh's arm, both of them, and sent them to captivity right along with us. That's why a whole lot of Hamites over here, they think of us, and we think they're them. We're them. Because that's why...
And the Most High doesn't do that for no reason at all.
No.
The Most High does that. Yeah. Like he spelled out what the Assyrians are doing. Mm-hmm. They're violent. We already know he sent Jonah the prophet to tell them to turn around, change from your wicked ways. And they did. But they went right back. Y'all got to get the beat down.
Mm-hmm.
And Yah says, I'm against you, you in trouble. And the fact that the Jewish man is against Yah's people, and he got all the European powers trying to be against our people, Kyrie Irving, Kanye West, because we're trying to find out our purpose in creation and our connection with Yah, that means you're against Yah. You don't want Yah's people to find out who they really are and what their purpose and their mission in life is. So you're against Yah, and Yah is against you.
Exactly.
So they're asking for a burial so deep that in the future, archaeologists going to have to dig them up and find out that they were once, what they call themselves, superpowers? Because Assyria, I'm sure, thought they were a superpower. It's like Babylon. They didn't call themselves superpowers. They call themselves kingdoms, which is, in essence, the same thing as a superpower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Certainly, Cartrell. Certainly, my brother. Thank you for that clarification. Cartrell, Sister Abia, have we completed this? Have we turned over every leaf and crossed every T? Should we move on?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my sister. Sister Abia, I'm not doing your job.
148.
She's the gatekeeper. I'm just a reader. Praise the Elohim from creation, from the very beginning. Praise the Elohim from creation. Let me read that one more time. Praise the Elohim from your very conception, the very beginning, from creation. All right, Cartrell. It didn't say who wrote it. It didn't say who wrote it, brother.
One. It don't even matter. We know it's an Israelite brother or sister, right?
Exactly. That's the only thing we need to know, my brother.
And can you get past creation? Can you get beyond creation?
No.
So this is the praise of creation. And who is the creator of creation?
Trick question, huh? That's a trick question.
So all creation praises Yah, right?
Exactly.
That's what we got to do. So everything that Yah created, it praises him, except for mankind. We got a problem with mankind because mankind is praising himself and the works that he does and the power that Yah gave him and the gifts that Yah gave him.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So in this praise of creation, you know what we're going to see? We're going to see the order of creation. This is why there's no such thing as Mother Nature, right? This is going to debunk the concept of something called Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm.
So Psalms 148, hallelujah, praise Yah.
Mm-hmm.
Praise Yah from the heavens. Where do we start? We don't start on earth. First thing Yah created was the heavens and the earth, right? That's the first thing. So we get the first praise from the heavens that Yah created. And we marvel at the heavens, don't we? How the sun moves to the sky, how the moon moves to the sky, the stars, day and night. Praise him in the heights. That's the heavens. Praise him, all his angels. How many angels y'all got? Oh, we don't even know.
We don't even
praise
know.
Praise him, all his army. What army does y'all have? Oh, we don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
Praise him, sun and moon. Did you know that the sun and the moon praise y'all?
If he created it, so they should.
If they praise Yah, that means the sun and the moon have a conscience, right?
Exactly.
But we think of them as inanimate objects.
Right.
Praise him, all you shining stars. That means stars have a consciousness too, if they're praising him. Praise him, you heavens of heavens. So people talking about they go into heaven. What part of heaven you go to? Heaven or the heaven of heavens.
Mm-hmm.
You waters that are above the heavens. We don't even know about those waters. Waters above the heavens? What kind of waters are those? We know about the waters on earth. But waters above the heavens? Let them praise Yah's name. And Jewish people don't call Yah's name. They say Hashem. But everything that is created is supposed to praise what?
Praise Yah.
The name of
Yah.
For he commanded and they were created. When you command something, what are you doing?
You're creating.
You're speaking.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't even using his hands.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly.
He said, let there be light. And guess what happened?
It was light.
And it was good. He also established them forever and ever. How long did he establish them for?
Forever and ever.
Science will tell you that the sun has a short lifespan. And they go into detail. The sun is a young star.
You mean to tell me, science, whom I mean, whom has a short lifespan, but they going to tell us that okay, all right.
Am I lying? Don't they say the sun got a short lifespan? It may last like 10 more million years.
Oh,
how the hell do you know?
Dim and their theories.
What are we reading here? How long has Yah established them?
Forever.
The sun and the moon. Forever. In case you ain't know, forever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
He has made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise Yah from the earth. Oh, now we get down to terra firma. We already covered the heavens, sun, moon, the stars, the angels, Yah's army. Army in heaven? Okay, now we're on earth. Praise Yah from the earth. You great sea creatures in all depths. Amazing. He started with creatures of the water, right? He said waters above the heaven, and then when he gets to earth, he starts with the waters, the creatures in the sea, the waters below. And they praise Yah, don't they?
Exactly.
Porpoises go with porpoises. Killer whales go with killer whales. Dolphins go with dolphins. Tuna go with tuna. They all swim in the sea, but they don't intermingle with each other, do they?
No.
You see that's the same kind.
No, they're not taking up a rainbow flag.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Not at all. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, snow about to come, stormy winds, fulfilling his word. Did that sound like Mother Nature to you? Or did it sound like Yah commanding snow, lightning, hail, clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling Yah's word?
Yeah,
they used to say act of God, but now they say Mother Nature.
Well, Katria, that's an old saying. If it walks like a duck and quack like a duck, it's a duck.
Mm-hmm. So people of the world don't know that Yah, he's the one that creates earthquakes and tsunamis and hurricanes and tornadoes and snowstorms, stormy winds. What do? They fulfill his word. They can't do nothing without Yah telling them to go ahead and do it. Matter of fact, he told the waters, stay back. Don't flood the earth like in the time of Noah. He put boundaries on the water. Does the water obey his boundaries? Oh, yeah, because we would be drowning right now trying to swim.
Yep.
Mountains and all hills. How many hills? All hills?
Boom.
Fruit trees, all cedars. They do what? You see, I'm telling me that mountains praise Yah, all hills praise Yah, all fruit trees and cedars praise Yah, while animals and all livestock. All livestock, all wild animals praise Yah. Small creatures and flying birds, they praise Yah too. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and judges, all of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise Yah's name, for his name alone is exalted. Oh, we don't have to add JC, Jesus, in it?
That ain't what I'm reading, brother.
Okay. His name alone. Imahadura calling me. Let me see if I could cue her in. Hold on. Shalom, Imahadura. You know we're on a Blog Talk show.
Oh,
no, I'm sorry, baby. I'm sorry. I wasn't even looking at the clock. I'm sorry.
Go no, ahead. Mama, you didn't want to hear my voice. That's all they were. You could have called me.
I'm so fired up. I don't know. Forgive me. Forgive me, please.
No. I know you want to hear Yum Soup voice, Mama.
Hello,
all right.
Dear heart, how are you?
May the Most High bless you.
Blessed be the name. I had called because Moray, I was going to ask you, how good are you at following the genealogy of our people?
From ancient times, according to scripture?
According to Chronicles and so forth and so on.
Yeah, I know that stuff.
Okay, because I was trying to, I'm listening to this video, and they're saying that the what's his name in Elizabeth and Zechariah in the book of Luke, Zechariah was of the Leviticus priesthood of Abijah. I think that's what it was, but he's of that lineage. And I was wondering, how could they say that?
They're talking about Luke and trying to trace Luke's lineage back to
Zechariah, that's found as Elizabeth's husband. That they say Elizabeth and Zechariah in the book of Luke. As you can trace it back to the First Chronicles 24:8.
That's a pretty deep stretch.
I would think so.
First quarter,
I would think that's one hell of a stretch.
24:8. Let me look at it. First quarter 24:8, right?
Yes.
Okay, let me read it.
First quarter. Remember, they didn't have ancestry.com back then.
Okay, here it is. Verse 8.
Okay.
I mean, the verse is so quick and fast in a hurry. I get to the 90. Yeah.
Hold on, baby. I know it's First Chronicles 24,
right.
Chapter.
Okay. Ima, you got some background on?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Okay. I'm so caught up. I'm so fired up. I didn't call about 6 people.
You found it, Yamsu?
I'm looking, but I'm at verse 7. In verse 7, simply it says the third to Harim, the fourth to Zakharim, and that's it. The third to Harim, the fourth to Zahorim. And so how's that making a connection with Zechariah and Luke? And Elizabeth.
And you're trying to trace it through his mother, which our ancient fathers didn't do. You trace your seed through your father.
Right. So I don't see the connection, Yvonne. I don't know how they make that connection. Having concurrent cards, that's quite a leap. That's where you fill in the gaps.
You said Ima?
Ima.
I'm just talking and but it was meant to be out. That's what it was.
Right.
They were supposed to hold on 1 minute, I'll give it to you. I just thought of what it was. And I just got, I got nervous because of all this misinformation that's going on here to our people.
I'm going to propose something else. Even if Luke's mother is found in the Book of Chronicles, in a genealogy, that doesn't make Luke a prophet of the Most High.
No, they say it's his mother and his father.
Even if his mother and father is found in the Chronicles, Mama, that doesn't make him a prophet just because you found his mother and father.
They're supposed to be of a high priest. And
every priest was not a prophet, though, was he?
No, that's in 1 Chronicles 25:4. I'm sorry.
Okay, 1 Chronicles 25:4. Okay. Moreover, King Dawud and the captains of the army separated for the service some of the sons of Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps, strings, and instruments and cymbals, and the numbers of the skilled men performing the service was of the sons of Asaph, Zakur, Joseph, Nethaniah, and Asharilah. The sons of Asaph were under the direction of Asaph, who prophesied according to the orders of the king. Of Jeduthun, the sons of Jeduthun, Gedaliah, Ziri, Jeshaiah, Shemiah, Hashabiah, and Mattiah, six under the direction of their father Jeduthun, who prophesied with a harp to give thanks and praise to the Elohim. Of Heman, the sons of Heman, Bukiah, Mattiah, Uziel.
That's the they say Mattiah. That's how they got Zechariah, because you keep going down and you'll see Zechariah. And all of a sudden in 2 Chronicles 20:14.
Okay, 2014 and 2913,
they tag that in with Asaph, the sons of Asaph.
2014.
That's 2 Chronicles 20:14, and then Mark 20:19. That's how they tan all this together to get to Zechariah and Luke.
Okay. It says, the spirit of the Elohim came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jalil, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, the midst of the assembly. He said, listen, all of you of Yehudite and all you inhabitants of Jerusalem, you and King Jehoshaphat, thus said the Elohim to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but Yah's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them in the end of the brook before the wilderness of Zeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Elohim with you. O Yehudite and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed tomorrow. Go out against him, for Yah is with you. So I'm trying to figure out, Imam, how are they making these sort of connections? Number one, there are many Hebrew Israelites got the same name. So how are they taking Zechariah and Elizabeth from the new thing and trying to connect it with the old thing? So how are they making this connection?
Well,
there's a lot of Hebrew Israelites had the same name.
Well, the first thing that would be circumspect for me in Luke is the very first verse, if I'm not mistaken, because Luke said, since everybody else gave their story, he might as well give his too.
Okay.
Luke, It says, read from 1 to 3.
Okay, Luke 1, chapter 3. 1. Okay.
Mm-hmm. We really read to Luke 1 to 5, and you'll see what they're saying.
Okay. And so much as many has taken hands and set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and the ministers of the word deliver them to us. It seems good to me also, having a perfect understanding of all things from the very first, who writes you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things. You ain't saying nothing. I mean, what is it? He ain't saying that. He ain't made no connection.
He said it seemed like everybody else and gave their stories of eyewitness. He might as well give his story as well.
Yeah, he's making his rendition too. The word does say, yeah. And how do we make that connection with Chronicles? And what do we say about his connection with those ancients? Five.
Verse five.
Uh-huh. So he's going to make a connection.
And they connect this with 1 Chronicles 24:10, verse 5.
Oh.
And I'm going to tell you why. That's circumspect to me.
Uh-huh. Verse 5. Let me look for verse 5. Okay. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Yehudia, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah.
Let me stop you right there. Let me stop you right there.
Okay.
Herod was a Edomite king.
Exactly.
After the Maccabees fell. This is nowhere near the time frame you previously read about.
Mm-hmm.
If you're talking about Herod, they call him King of the Jews. He was an Edomite king under the Greco-Roman Empire.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
So we're talking about Herod and Zechariah at that time. It's not the same Zechariah that she was talking about in Chronicles.
Mm-hmm.
See, you know, I just want to say this, and I don't mean nobody no harm. But the reason why I really want us to be on top of this is because we got to uncover these lies and this confusion that's in the midst of our people. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is by the word of our God.
So chronologically, what Yamsu just read, read it again, Yamsu. We're talking about Herod. Herod came after the last prophet, the prophet Daniel. Nowhere near even the period of Chronicles, where they were chronicling the kings of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Chronicles is, the chronicling or the documentation of the kings of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead, John, so read that again, what you was reading.
There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. Wife was of the daughter of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before Yah, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Elohim blameless, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years.
Abraham and Sarah. That's the reinvent of that story.
So King Herod, the Edomite king, he's telling us that he got a high priest from the nation of Israel serving him.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
The high priest from the nation of Israel wasn't serving Herod, the king, like that. Our nation had been defeated, and the Edomites took over. So they had self-appointed priests. And this guy, Zechariah, was he a Levite? Was he from the house of Aaron? Or was he a self-appointed priest or a priest that King Herod appointed him to?
Well, that's why they're trying to line this up with 1 Chronicles 24:10 and also 2 Kings 18:3. Look how subtle the deception is. And if our people don't know any difference, they'll fall for it. And I'd like to read that in 18:3, 2 Kings. And it says, 25 years old, I mean, now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, and that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abib, the daughter of Zechariah. You see how they try to bring that in?
That's a different Zechariah, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anywhere they can find the name Zechariah, they'll try to connect the dots.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with the skip to Malu. Let's go to this chapter, that chapter, this verse, that verse. That's where the problems come in. You're not reading the book in its context. That's why you have to read each chapter, each author, from chapter 1 until the end of the book to understand the context. So, yeah, you could do the skip to Malu and make up anything you want. This Elizabeth, that Elizabeth. Are you talking about the same Elizabeth? Are you talking about the same Zechariah? No. The Zechariah under Herod and the Zechariah under the son of King Ahaz. It's two different men. Two different men.
How
two different
hundreds of years would that have been before Moray?
Say that again, Ma.
And how many hundreds of years would that have been?
You're talking hundreds. You're talking hundreds. At least 300-400 years between Herod and King Ahaz's son. You're talking hundreds of years between Daniel and the New Testament. And the prophet Daniel came with our last king, King Zedekiah. King of Judah. So King Ahab, he was centuries before King Zedekiah, much less King Herod, the Edomite king who took over when Judah fell. So that's why it's so important to cover Yah's word book by book, chapter by chapter. And in Christianity, that's where deception comes in. Jehovah Witness. Yah said, ye are my witnesses. And Jehovah Witnesses ran with that. Took it out of context. Yah didn't say everybody was his witness. He said Israel was his witness, right? And what did we witness? We witnessed the destruction of Egypt, the passing through the Red Sea. We saw that. That's what we witnessed. What has Jehovah Witnesses witnessed? What y'all talk about? What y'all witness? But you took that verse, that portion, and created a whole denomination of a religion. And that's the problem with Christianity. They do the skip to Malu. They don't read chapter by chapter, and they take things out of context. There's no genealogy for Luke. Who's Luke? Who's his father? What tribe did he come from?
Well, there's no genealogy for any of those, whatever they may be. And you know what's interesting is how quick Israel will run to take the words of some unknown Gentile men to challenge the word of their God. The Most High God is God.
So, Ima, you got to put the facts out there. If you research Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, Paul, Mary, you'll find out that they wrote about Jesus, Yehoshua, 50 years after he died. Who quotes anybody 50 years after they died? That's like asking your children of today to quote Dr. Martin Luther King without libraries. How are you going to quote Dr. Martin Luther King if you don't know, if you didn't live, if you wasn't with him? Can you do it?
I want to ask you a question, Ima. Now, how are they going to allow a man with a Greek name tell me he connected with a Hebrew name?
Well, Israel did that.
The Greeks did the Greeks brought forth their God. Israel to hold fast. We love the whore.
Mm-hmm.
Israel to hold fast to that character. They changed the name to Yahshua or Yehoshua, whereas the Torah, nowhere in the Torah, outside of Yehoshua the high priest and Yehoshua
mm-hmm.
the son of Nun, outside
mm-hmm.
of those two Yehoshuas or Yahshuas, there is no mention, no reference, no referral, nothing in lieu of the New Testament.
Right.
But we give it credence when we begin to speak about it as if this character really lived. But there's no biblical foundation, no historical documentation that such a character of that has ever lived. And the evidence speaks for itself. And maybe you all can clear up this mystery on the air. And when talking about that character, he came to save. And what did he save Israel from? Nothing.
They give him the title. They give him the title, the Christ, Messiah, anointed, which shows you they're being deceitful. Because he was never anointed priest or king of Israel. We know who the sons of King David were, the kings of Judah, King Zedekiah being the last king sent into exile into Babylon. There was no restoration of the kingdom under this man they call the anointed, who was never anointed. So the whole concept of Christianity is based on that word, Christ, Christianity, anointed, which he never was. So the great deception is in. And people like fish get caught hook, line, and sinker because they don't do their due diligence. What does Christ mean? What does Messiah mean? What does Mashiach mean? HaMashiach, the Christ. Like if he's the exclusive and only one. And that's such a great falsehood. They talk about Donald Trump's lies. That's the biggest lie on the planet, that he's a Christ.
Well, if we're really astute, when you talk about the Christ, you're talking about Israel, the son of John.
Right.
You're talking about the priest and you're talking about the king. The priest and the king. The Most High says, don't play with that oil. If you mix and composite that oil in your house, it's a death sentence. So we have to know Yah's codes. Yah's codes are like electrical codes. You can't wire your house unless you know the codes for electricity. Aaron lost two of his sons in that anointing process. And he couldn't even mourn them. They had to drag his sons out, and Aaron had to continue with the anointing process. That's how serious that is. And when the kings are anointed, King David would not kill King Saul, although he had the opportunity. He knew better than to put his hands on who? Yah's anointed. That's a serious spot.
Let's connect the dots too, Moray. That was the order that was in the midst of Israel. But the order that Yah put in the midst of creation, that Israel is the priest of Yah for all the world. Israel is the Mashiach. It's the whole nation that went in the grave for 2 days, almost 3 days. That's where they got the Jesus story from. Israel, the Almighty says in Ezekiel, prophesy and tell my people, who are my people, Israel, that I will bring them up out of the grave. As it is stated in Hosea 6:2, the second day he will revive us, the third day he will raise us up. We're going to raise up who? Israel. Who is Israel? His son, the nation. You see? So when they when we started connecting the dots, and we follow the order of Yah. It's not complicated at all. But we, because of the way we've been taught, and as you always say, we have to follow, and the word itself tells us what, to live by every word of Yah. And when we follow the bouncing ball of Yah, and we follow his script, it's not complicated. We don't even know what our purpose is. What did Yah create a nation for? He told us, for his glory. What is his glory? To do what? You see?
The Most High created the nation of Israel to serve him on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the angels do in the heavens, which
mm-hmm.
is why he made us a holy people, a priestly nation, because we serve him because he dwells in the midst of us. And the
mm-hmm.
holy and the profane cannot dwell together. So you have to know the codes. What does it take to be a holy people? It takes our priests to be a holy people. Because it's the priest that sanctify us. It's the priest that take the sins of off the nation. It's the priest who brings Yah's word to Yah's people. The priests are in a whole nother category. Moses himself, his sons, could not be priests, even though he was Aaron's younger brother. Only the sons of Aaron can be priests, the anointed ones. That process is so serious, Aaron lost two of his sons the first time, the first anointed. They had to be dragged out, and Aaron could not go to their funeral. He had to continue the consecration process. That's how serious it is. It's so serious, Yah told us not to composite. He gave us the ingredients of it. He said, do not make it, Israel, in your house. If I find it in your house, it's a death sentence. Only the king and the priest of Israel are anointed, which makes us an anointed nation when you want to look at it, because no other nation can do that. The people
mm-hmm.
of Israel can't do that. Only the king and the priest. And we it's a balance, because we take care of the priests take care of us. We take care of the physical needs of the priests take care of our spiritual needs. They don't have a portion of land, so we have to bring them substance to maintain them. And we have to bring them the best of what we have. And it's a system. It's a code. It's like the ant colony. Every ant in the colony has a function and a purpose. And they don't cross jobs. And with the Levites, you have Merariites, Gershonites, and Kohathites. And then you have the priests. The Kohathites can't do what Gershon does. Gershon can't do what Merari does. Each one of those three segments of the tribe of Levi have specific assignments, and they can't cross paths. Merari can't carry the Ark of the Covenant when it's covered by the priests. Only the Kohathites carry the Ark of the Covenant.
Well,
so,
Ray, I think we're saying the same thing, but here's what I'm saying. And just to give you a little bit more understanding where I'm coming from, I'm going to read from Ezekiel, the 36th chapter. Therefore, in verse 36:22, starting with, therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus said Yahuwah, I do not this for your sake. It's going to be Yah that's going to anoint, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the nations shall know that I am Yahuwah, said Yah, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all the countries and will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all of your filthiness, and from all of your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you should dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. So the Almighty, again, it goes right back to his original order. Israel, the priest, sanctified Israel. Israel is the priest to the world by the word of God.
So I'm going to read you real quick, Malachi 3. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and Yah whom you seek, Israel, will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant whom you desire, behold, he comes, says Yah of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who will stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them as silver and gold, and they shall offer Yah offerings in righteousness. Then the offering of Yehuda and Jerusalem will be pleasant to Yah, as in the days of old, as in ancient years. I will come near to you in judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against the perjurers and against those who oppress the hirelings and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and who deprive the foreigner of justice. And don't fear me, says Yah of armies, for I, Yah, do not change. Therefore, the sons of Jacob are not consumed. For the days of your fathers I have turned away. You have turned away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I'll return to you, says Yah of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will a man rob Elohim? Yet you rob me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes, in offerings, you are cursed with the curse, for you robbed me. Even this whole nation, bring the whole tithes into the storehouses, that there may be food for my house. And test me now in this way, says Yah of armies. See if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there will be no room enough. For I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall you your vines cast its fruit before its time in the field, says Yah of hosts. All nations shall call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land. The Most High, starting with the sons of Levi, they have to be purified. And when he's talking about the sons of Levi, he's talking about the priests. So that anointing is going to come. It's going to come to the sons of Aaron and the king that he selects. So when people throw that term around, we have to know the specifics of that term.
Say that again, Maureen. I'm sorry, you went out.
Yeah. People, you know, in church throw that term Messiah, Christ, Mashiach, even Israelites waking up. But the root of that word is very serious. And we need to know all the specifics and the codes that go along with it. And the Most High is reaching out to our nation. He's going to purify the Levites and the priests. And we're going to follow their instructions. It's going to come from Yah's house, Jerusalem, the temple, that Yah is going to set on its foundation. And all nations are going to come to Yah's house. And the order of Yah's house starts with the house of Levi. And we see here Yah is going to purify the house of Levi. They got to go to the fire. He said, who can endure the day of his coming? There's going to be a messenger that prepares the way. And who will stand when he appears? For he's like a refiner's fire, like a launderer's soap. And he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them as gold and silver, and they shall offer Yah offerings in righteousness. That's where it starts. Then the offering of Yehuda and Jerusalem, because Yehuda is the head and all the nation is following him, but Levi has to be purified first, as in the days of old, as in the ancient years. I will come near to you in judgment. Oh, still got to be judged. And Yah is going to be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, and against the perjurers, people telling lies, running around, don't know Yah's word, and against those who oppress, because our people oppress one another, the hireling and his wages, the widow, the fatherless, who we don't take care of, who deprive the foreign of justice, and don't fear me, says Yah of hosts. So we're going to find out who fears Yah and who don't, who knows Yah and who don't. Y'all got to make it all clear. But we didn't finish Psalms. We had a few verses to go.
We got a few more verses.
Yep.
I'm thinking 13, Ema.
Psalms what?
148.
13. Yeah, this is a psalm that lets you know there's no such thing as Mother Nature. Yah commands everything that he created. He commands the creatures in the sea, the snow, the wind, the fire, the waters, everything in heaven, his heavenly hosts, the stars, the moon, the sun, the angels, Yah's army, all of them give praise to Yah. And he's on earth right now. He said, kings of the earth, verse 11, and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise Yah's name. So everything that Yah created, not just Israel, the nation, all nations, supposed to praise Yah's name. Unfortunately, Jewish people don't say Yah's name. And it's funny because they say Hashem, right? They don't say Yah's name. They say Hashem. They can say Hashem, but they can't call Noah's son's name, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And it's the same thing. Shem, the son of Noah, and Hashem is the same thing. They don't say Hashem. They don't say Hashem, because there's no such thing as Sem. Like, they throw that anti-Semitism out there. We praise the Shem or Shem or Shame of Yah. We pronounce it, Yah says declare it, Yah says praise it. He says don't take it in vain, but we need to praise his name. We need to know his name. All the earth needs to know Yah's name. For his name alone is exalted. People call it every other name under the sun. Most people on the earth who Yah created do not know his name. His glory is above the earth and above the heavens. He has lifted up the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even the children of Israel, a people near to him, praise Yah. And they go that nearness to Yah, our relationship with Yah should be closer than friends. Yah wants to dwell in the midst of us so that he does get his glory. And he says he's going to get his glory through his people, which we are. But we have to be purified. Mm-hmm. And he's going to start with the house of Levi. Praise Yah.
Well, we sure ain't going to die, Yah, with a Greek position that he did even know the man they called Jesus. We're not going to start with a Greek position.
Shalom, Ema. It's good you brought it and took us back to before refresh that whole course again.
Ema, are you there? Well,
she must be gone again.
Yeah, she'll be back. Godrell, any closing remarks or Sister Avia?
No, not all. As always, though, just seek Yah, obey Yah, and praise Yah, and don't get fooled by none of this other mess out in this world. Shalom and good night.
Praise Yah. I love this chapter right here, Psalms 148. I don't know who wrote it, but it breaks down such a great truth. Debunks the whole theory that Darwin, we come from apes, we evolved from one cell, and there was a big bang. This breaks down the fact that Yah, the creator of heavens and the earth and all things that are in it, he has command of it all, and all of it gives praise to him, and man should too. So we have to unlearn what we've learned in Western culture, in Western doctrine, the brainwashing that they've done to us, and really meditate and penetrate the words of our ancient fathers, which gives us greater wisdom than the enemies try to impart upon us. So these words should be our foundation. They should be strong. We should be solid with it. fear the Creator, who is our Creator, and praise Him constantly, like all His creation does. So we're being enlightened, we're being awakened, and I pray that, you know, this enlightenment gives us strength enough to really connect with our Creator. And the words that we speak, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable before Yah, our Rock and our Redeemer. All praise to the Holy One of Israel. I'm going to say shalom and good night, family. We love you.
Praise Yah. We have a hand up from area code 248. May the Most High bless you. We're going to bring you on for a few minutes because time is wasting. May the Most High bless you. Your mic is
This is Sister Tavia in Detroit. Talking with a sister who was with the IUIC, and I was really coming to her about how, I don't even like saying the name anymore, but how JC hasn't done anything for us. And she was starting to think. But then I said, I don't even understand why you all still call him by that name. You could, when Jay never existed in Hebrew or Greek. And she said, well, we're taught that Psalms 138 says, magnify thy word above all thy name. So she was like, well, that means that his word is more important than what you call him. And that kind of like, it made me not lose ground because I didn't know how to rebuttal that. But I later thought to myself, well, it says above all thy name, but it did not. But I should have said, well, but it did not say all names or any name you want to call them. Would that have been a good rebuttal for that? But it did say in the scripture, and I had to look it up, it says, magnify that word above all thy name. Does that mean that the word is more important than his name?
Let's read Psalms 138, a psalm of King David. I will give thanks to you with my whole heart before the other gods, I will sing praise to you. I will bow down towards your holy temple, Yah, and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and for your truth. For you have exalted your name and your word above all. In the day that I call, you answered me. You encouraged me with your strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth will give thanks to you, Yah, for they have heard the words of your mouth. Yet they will sing of the ways of Yah, for Yah's glory is great. For though Yah is high, yet he looks after the lowly, but he knows the proud from afar. Though I walk in the middle of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies. Your right hand will save me. Yah will fulfill that which concerns me. Your loving kindness, Yah, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hand. So they got it mixed up. I will bow down towards your temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and for your truth. For you have exalted what? Your name and your word above all.
But it's just this one scripture, chapter 2, verse 138, chapter 2, where it says, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. I will worship towards the whole.
What chapter are you in?
138, Psalms 138, verse 2.
Mine reads way different from yours.
Oh, boy. I have a soul-filled Bible.
My verse reads this. I will bow down. Verse 2. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and for your truth. For you have exalted what? Your name and your word above all. Yang Su, what should I read? What does your book read?
Mine says, I will worship temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And she kind of...
That's wrong. That's wrong.
Yeah.
Wow.
No,
your
he's speaking to Yah. He's speaking to Yah. I will worship toward your holy temple in regards to Yah and praise your name in regards to Yah and your loving kindness and your truth in regards to Yah. And you have magnified your name above all your name in regards to Yah.
It says magnify thy word above all thy name.
Now, that ain't what mine said.
Oh, wow. For thou had, oh, wow.
But you know what? I think that that can be easy, for me, it's easily understood that Yah's name, because all through his word, the Almighty said his statutes and his judgment. Statutes, his word. His word is what gives us understanding in order for us to even come to know to magnify his name. Without
exactly.
His word, his name would just be another name because we would have no understanding.
Right.
One doesn't diminish from another. Yah's name doesn't diminish from his word. If you go to the book of Genesis, the first chapter, Yah spoke. What did he say? Let there be light. And light came to be. He said, let there be light, and it was light. He said, let there be this. He said, let there be that. He was speaking. His word is powerful. That's why his words you can't take for granted. You have to search out everywhere. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that
every
comes out of my mouth. And you have to
right,
value every word of the Most Salika. You have to value every word of the Most High's mouth. Not only do you have to value his word, you have to be careful of your own words because he holds you accountable to what you say. So be careful what you say because Yah will hold you accountable.
Well, Ray, that's right. The only thing I was validating, that his word. Every word.
I was only adding to what you were saying, Ima, in a different way.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm not arguing with you, but the fact that both things, even in Christianity, what do they say? The Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be what?
Hallowed be thy name.
They don't say his word, do it. Hallowed be what?
Thy name.
And what? Thy kingdom. Don't mention anything about his word. We already know the power of Yah's word. In Psalms 148, we just read it. He commands everything that he created, the sun, the moon, the stars, the angels, the wind, the fire, the hail, the air, the snow, the insects. When he called for the frogs to come to Egypt, did they come? When he called for the flies to come to Egypt, did they come? When he called for the hail and the lightning to come to Egypt in Moses' time, did they come? It's not Mother Nature. It's creation obeying Yah's word. That's why Psalms 148 is so important. Because it tells you the levels of and the dimensions of how Yah's creation praises him. And he starts out in the heavens. Because the heavens are not out of order with the Most High. If the heavens were out of order with the Most High, we would be in trouble. If the sun didn't obey Yah's command, we wouldn't have day or night or seasons. If the moon didn't obey Yah's command, we wouldn't have tides and things of that nature and the effect of the moon. Those elements that Yah created, they are obedient to his command. The only thing that's not obedient to Yah's creation is man. Mankind does not praise or know Yah's name. We
well,
worship the works of many. Go ahead.
I will tell her because she thought she had something on me for that. To tell her we should magnify his name as well as the word. And that's basically
well,
it.
You know, Travis, the reason why she's pushing that point is because they say JC is the word.
Right.
And that's a falsehood. That's a
right.
Big misnomer. Because
right.
What is the first thing that Yah created? Do you know?
His word.
No, he already had his word. But out of his word, he created something first.
Elohim.
The heavens?
He created wisdom. wisdom, Proverbs 8.
Yeah, boy.
Proverbs 8 gives wisdom's resume. She lets you know that she is the first of Yah's works of old. She was created from everlasting, from the beginning, even before he even started the rest of his works. So when you read Proverbs 8, the resume of wisdom, she lets you know with no uncertain terms that she is the first thing that Yah created, wisdom, the feminine power that's in creation.
Oh, thank
you. You know, most of the world don't even know nothing about the feminine attributes of Yah. They don't know nothing about that.
I just found out that there are female and male trees, and that our government is killing a lot of our female trees to prevent them from cross-pollinating.
Well,
it's called genetic engineering.
Yeah.
Another thing, too, is that the Almighty, it's again, he leaves nothing to our imagination, but it's because we have been mistaught by our enemy. The Creator name itself reflects the masculine and feminine energy because it consists of both masculine and feminine letters.
Oh, wow.
The name that we know, the Most High has 72 names. Our ancient father Abraham knew him as El Shaddai, God Almighty.
What did Israel know him as?
Yahweh, Yahuwah. I will be that which I will be. That's what he told Moses to tell the elders. When they asked me who you are, well, what am I supposed to tell them? Eye, Ashe, Eye. I will be that which I will be. Eye, Ashe, Eye.
But then it goes on in Exodus to say that your fathers knew me by El Shaddai. They did not know me by my name, Yahuwah.
Which shows so he got many names. Got many names.
But I'm saying, what did the children of Israel, did they call him many names throughout there, or did they use the tetragrammaton?
They use what Yah told them to use.
Okay. I got one more question. Does the tetragrammaton have both masculine and feminine letters?
Does it have both masculine and feminine letters?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the letters are not masculine and feminine. The names connotate masculine and feminine.
That's all. Okay. We can get technical, but at the end of the day, it's still masculine and feminine. And everything in creation reflects that. Even down to the nuts and bolts, electrical wires, whatever. It has a masculine and a feminine counterpart.
Okay, on that note, we're going to get back. We got to get out of here. Sister Tavia, thank you for the question. Imad Doria, thank you for the study.
Thank you all. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I owe you an apology again. I forgot the time, babe. I got so excited when I was getting with these folks. I forgot.
No problem. No problem at all. Take as much time as we got. We ain't got no more. Praise Yah and bless His holy name. I love you, Ima. I love you, Sister Tavia.
Love you,
Sister Avia.
Gotta go.
Love you, Cartrell. May the Most High bless y'all. Keep studying and studying and studying. It's imperative for our growth and development, the feminine and the masculine. Praise Yah and bless His holy name. Shalom and good night.
Shalom.
Take me in like I've never been. Lead me now to your heart, chagrin. Take me in
I've been there once and I'll go again, just as long as you're the one to take me in. Like a free bird circling in the wind, I'll fly to your cage so you can take me in. Oh, won't you take me in? I've seen our mothers cry within, from our fathers who